If you want to know what is really happening in the world today, you need to read the Parsha HaShavua, the weekly Torah reading. Join Rabbi Mendel Lipska for the next hour as he delves and enumerates the themes running through the weekly Torah Parsha, only on 101.9 Chai FM.
And a wonderful Erev Shabbos to all of you. Great to be with you again. I've been away for a bit of time, and I missed the show, and I missed you, and I missed speaking with you, talking with you, sharing with you, and thinking about Torah thoughts which guide our lives, teach us how to behave, teach us how to look at the world, how to understand the world. And it's a world that needs a lot of understanding. It's a complicated world, a world that has become confused and dangerous, a world that has become, in many ways, a threatening world, a world that threatens our very existence, a world that threatens our way of thinking, a world that doesn't understand who we really are, a world that tries to deny the fact that Hashem gave us the Torah and gave us a tremendous mission of teaching the world a set of values, of teaching the world an understanding of what one God is really all about and what ethics is really all about. And this world, for some strange reason, and perhaps not so strange, but for some strange reason, tries very hard to confuse people into understanding the purpose of the Jew and the mission of the Jew. And this is why it's so important to turn to Torah, to learn the Torah, and to teach and share the Torah so that we understand what our mission is, we understand what our purpose is, and we understand how to share it with the nations of the world as well. So the world becomes a less dangerous place and a less frightening place. Special Shabbos, it's Shabbos Mevarchim. We bless the new month of Sivan, and it's Shabbos Chazak. We conclude the third book of the Torah, the book of Vayikra, Leviticus, a tremendous celebration in many ways, as we'll soon talk. But we celebrate the month, the new month of Sivan. This coming Wednesday will be Rosh Chodesh, and tomorrow in Shul, we will celebrate the new month. We will call out what the new month is, when the appearance of the moon, the new moon, will come over Jerusalem to the precise moment. And what is Sivan really all about? It's a special month because it's the month that contains the incredible festival of Shavuot, which is the time that God gave us the Torah. And when God gave us the Torah, it revealed to us and to the entire world, indeed to all of creation, the purpose of creation. Up to that point, a select few understood why indeed God created the world, this tremendous, incredible creation, this incredible universe and beyond. Why did God bring it into being? It was a mystery. And as I said, a handful of people, beginning with Abraham, really understood what it was all about. And Abraham taught it to his son Isaac, who transmitted this knowledge to his son Jacob, who gave it over to his children, and they to their children. But it was only a small group, comparatively speaking, who understood the purpose of creation. At Sinai, all of creation began to understand why God created the world. And this is why the festival of Shavuot, when we celebrate Matan Torah, it's an incredible, important time. And it appears during this month of Sivan. And this is why when we call out the new month tomorrow in Shul, it's a time to reflect upon something like that. This is a month that reminds us and tells us who and what we are, what our duties are, what our purpose in this world is really all about. And the question is, how can we fulfill that incredible duty? And the answer perhaps lies in the fact, interestingly enough, that the word Sivan, the numerical value of the word Sivan, the gematria, is 126, which also is the gematria of the word Anav, which means one who is humble. Now, humility doesn't mean that this is a weak individual. Humility and weakness don't come together. Humility comes with great strength. A person who is principled, a person who knows what they are really all about, that individual can truly be humble. As it says in the Torah, who was the most humble of all people? That was Moshe, Moses, the man who brought down the Torah at Sinai, the man who led the Israelites out of Egypt, the man who led them through the wilderness for 40 years, the man who is called by God as one who is trusted in my entire world, the most humble of all people? Yes, because this is a humility that comes with strength. And this is something which is so important to understand. Humility means the ability to reach out to others. Humility means that we have a certain privilege and duty, but it's not arrogance, and it doesn't come with arrogance. It becomes with a tremendous understanding that we have something to give, and we give it with the humility that it deserves. The tribe that is connected with this particular month of Sivan is Zvulun, and Zvulun was the partner of Yisachar. Yisachar was the great scholar. Zvulun was going to be the trader, travel the world, earn fortunes, and support Yisachar in the study of Torah. One would think that the month that contains the giving of the Torah, the scholar, should be the symbol of that month, but no. It's the supporter of the one who studies Torah who is the symbol of that month, Zvulun. Interesting. Interesting because it tells us that each and every single individual not only has a connection to Torah, but a primary connection with Torah. Zvulun, the trader, the individual who goes throughout the world and earns a living and supports and shares his wealth with Yisachar, that is the symbol of the month of Sivan. A magnificent story is told to us about one of the Chabad Rebbes who turned around to his a Chassid who wasn't a great scholar, but he was an individual who traveled in business, and he said, I envy you, a Rebbe envying a tradesman. And he said, the reason is because you go to all the markets and all the fairs, and you speak to people, and you share a word of Torah, a story, an insight into a parsha, and you change people's lives because of that. Zvulun is the one who travels the world, who goes to the market, who sees individuals that otherwise wouldn't have the opportunity of hearing a word of Torah. That's the symbol of the month of Zvulun. Humility with strength. The ability to travel the world. Ability to go into the world. Not necessarily the scholar who sits in a situation of spiritual protection, but the one who goes into the world and trades and meets people and shares a thought and shares a simple idea. That's the symbol of the month of Sivan. Humility with strength and power. That's what Torah is all about. More of that soon.
This is the Parsha HaShavua with Rabbi Mendel Lipska, only on 101.9 High FM.
Diskin Wellness Clinic for Adults offers convenient and professional care to help you manage health risk, whether you're having your regular wellness checks such as blood pressure or cholesterol. Diskin Wellness Clinics offers you a broad range of health screening services, including female health screenings such as pap smears, family planning, and pregnancy screening. Fast, affordable, and with care. Find your nearest Diskim Wellness Clinic inside Diskim Pharmacies. Better health starts here. And listen to this. Discover the delightful symphony of flavors at Friends Bakery in Sandringham every Friday. Indulge in fresh, baked, flavored challahs like za'atar, homemade, and classic loaves, all perfect for Shabbos. Try the Friends Bakery new pretzel challah. You'll be a fan for life. For a limited time, enjoy free taster samples when you purchase your challah. Place your order easily via WhatsApp on 076-108-0085. That's 076-108-0085. And taste the difference that has everyone's taste buds buzzing. Visit Friends Bakery in Sandringham today and treat your taste buds to something extraordinary. We're talking about the month of Sivan, and we always read these parshas, whether it's Bahar Bechukotai together or sometimes just Bechukotai on its own. We always read it at this time of the year because it's very much connected with, well, the month of Sivan, with the festival of Shavuot, and with the idea that Sivan represents the concept of humility and strength, which is what Bahar is all about. That God speaks, and he said that this commandment was given. God spoke to Moshe, Bahar Sinai, on Mount Sinai. And we know the story of Mount Sinai. When God decided to give the Torah, all the mountains came to God and clamored, you should give it upon me, I am the highest. And the other one said, I have the mightiest range. Each mountain demanded that God give the Torah upon them because they are the most regal, most powerful, the highest, the greatest. And God gave the Torah on Mount Sinai because it was the smallest. Because God said the Torah has to be given, approached, studied, and shared with humility. It has to be the smallest of the mountains. And the question that the commentaries ask, if in fact humility is what it's all about, why a mountain? Why not give it in a valley or at least on a plain flat land? Why in a mountain if humility is all about? And the answer is, yes, humility, but there has to be a position of strength as well. You have to know who you are, because otherwise humility shows that you don't really have strength of purpose, that your humility comes from weakness, humility comes from a lack of self-understanding. Har Sinai, the smallest mountain, but a mountain. And this is something which is so important for us to understand, well, in the world today. A lot of humble people, but they're not mountains. They have no backbone, no strength, no understanding of who they are. And they come across as, well, nice people. And nice people are nice, but they haven't got the strength to protect their own identities, the identity of their people, the identity of their families, and they haven't got the knowledge and strength to transmit that identity onto the next generation. We have to be nice people. We have to be caring people. But we have to have a strong sense of identity and purpose as well. It has to come together. Har Sinai. God spoke to Moshe on Mount Sinai. And Mount Sinai is that simple symbol. It's a symbol of strength and humility at the same time because they aren't opposites. They complement each other in the most incredible way. I've seen a lot of great people who are arrogant. And I've seen greater people who are humble, but they are great people because within that humility, there is tremendous strength of identity and purpose. And that's what true leadership is really all about. You can be a leader who is arrogant, a tyrant, tough, strong. No one respects that leader. And ultimately, people are thrilled when that leader is gone. And then you see a leader who has true inner strength, a tremendous sense of caring for their people. That individual is eternal. And that individual is a true leader who takes people from one level to a higher level constantly. humility with strength. Now let's take a look in Bahar at the very first mitzvah that we talk about in this parsha. And what mitzvah is that? It's the mitzvah of Shemitah, the seventh year, where God says, for 6 years you shall work the land. When you come into the land and you'll take possession of the land, for 6 years you shall work the land, and for the seventh you shall rest. The land should rest. You don't work the land. You don't plow. You don't seed. You don't harvest. For 1 year out of seven, the land shall rest. In a sense, it's the Shabbos of the land. Just like we have Shabbos of the week, the seventh day, the land has Shemitah, the Shabbos of the land. The Shabbos that we know, that we celebrate every 7 days, symbolizes the sanctification of time. Every 7 days since creation is Shabbos. God declared it as such. God said, I rested on the 7 days after working to create the world in six. So too shall you commemorate every seventh day through rest, properly observing the Shabbos day. Shabbos represents the sanctification of time. Shemitah represents the sanctification of space. The land that I give you, the space that I give you, Eretz HaKodesh, the Holy Land. How do you sanctify the space that I give you? Every 7 years, it's the Shabbat of that land. You leave it. How will you survive? Well, God says later on, I will provide. Just as on Shabbos, God says, I will provide for you on Shabbos, even though you don't work. So too for the seventh year, I will provide, even though you don't work. And there's an important lesson here, sanctification of time, sanctification of space. And when we sanctify time and sanctify space, our time becomes holy. Our space becomes holy. Not only the seventh day or the seventh year, but the entire week becomes holy. The entire 7 years become holy. Every aspect of our time takes on a holiness. Every inch, every millimeter of our space becomes holy. Not only during the seventh year, but throughout the entire time. Whatever we have represents greatness, holiness, sanctity. And therefore, when surrounded by holy time and holy space, we ourselves are elevated into a holier situation. And therefore, our behavior is different. Our attitude to ourselves, to each other, our relationship with God, our relationship with each other, takes on a holiness as well. And by holiness, I don't mean this incredibly distant type of spirituality that has no place in the world, but it takes on a correct, positive, interactive, ethical type of behavior that God wants from us, as designated within the Ten Commandments. This is made possible by the sanctification of time and space. Because otherwise, when we don't sanctify time, time becomes meaningless. When we don't sanctify space, we become greedy, aggressive. We don't respect our property or the property of others. And we waste our lives trying to accumulate more and more while wasting our time in that type of accumulation. The sanctification of time and space protects us against the intrusion of negative lifestyle, of destructive lifestyle. It elevates us to a level of understanding which is altogether different. And this is the first of this week's two parshas. The second is Bechukotai. And what is that? God says that if you follow my laws, Im Bechukotai Telechu, if you will adhere to the commandments that I give you, I will give you your rain in time when you need it. And this is the contractual relationship that we have with God. God says, in order for the world to function properly, there has to be correct behavior on the part of the human beings. When we behave correctly, God says the natural elements, such as rain, will come in time when you need it, how you need it. But when humankind violates the divine commandments, then there is an eruption in the natural order of things as well. Now, many people might argue against that and say, what possible connection could there be between human behavior and the natural elements? They are two separate things. They are not. They are one and the same, both coming from God who created both. And this is the parsha that speaks about that contractual relationship. Im bechukotai telechu, when you follow my law, then this will happen. That the natural order that God put into place is so dependent upon the behavior of the person. Now, you speak to a great many people, and they talk about, well, this, that, and the other human beings behaving in a way which destroys the natural order of the world by abusing the natural order of the world. It's far deeper than that, because there's a spiritual element within each. The human has a spiritual element, and the natural order has a spiritual element, and they interact on an incredibly powerful level. And this is something which is important for us to understand. They are not separate. They are not divided. They are not two separate things. They are ultimately both creations of God. And God says, I have given you a world that is dependent upon your behavior. Not only is inter-human action dependent upon human behavior, but the entire natural structure of the world is dependent on human behavior as well. These two parshiyot come together. On the one hand, the understanding of the Shemitah, understanding what sanctification of space, of land is all about. And then comes the contractual relationship we have with God, respecting the world through behaving in a way that shows that we respect the law of God. Powerful parshas that come at the end of the book of Leviticus, which speaks to us about holiness generally, which speaks to us about the Holy Temple and the service within the Holy Temple, because ultimately the entire world should be seen as a holy temple, and we are the ones who minister within that holy temple, each and every one of us in our own way, with our own abilities, with our own strengths. We create, when we can, and if we do, a perfect world. More of that soon.
This is the Parsha HaShavua with Rabbi Mendel Lipska, only on 101.9 High FM.
If you have a small business, think about this. Imagine you ran an amazing special offer. And imagine High FM told 125,000 people about it. Imagine we also posted your special offer on our social media platforms and listed you on our website. And imagine you could do all of that on a month-to-month basis. What would that be worth to you? Chai FM has a special stimulus package for small businesses, and you should get in touch to find out more. Email info@chaifm.com, that's info@chaifm.com, or send a text to +27 61 895 1019, that's +27 61 895 1019, and we'll call you 101.9 High FM, 101.9 megahertz of building community businesses. We were talking about the idea of sanctifying time, sanctifying space, humility and strength coming together at the same time. This is what this parsha is all about. And this is why these parshiot conclude the book of Leviticus. Leviticus speaks about, Vayikra speaks about offerings in the temple, sacrifices, holy matters, and it comes down really to each and every one of us understanding and implementing sanctification of time and space. Who we are and what we have must be sanctified. And this is why this parsha is always read on the second last Shabbos before Shavuot, before we receive the Torah, to remind us what our duties are. And this is why in the parsha Bechukotai, we come across the Tochacha. Tomorrow when you're in shul, you'll hear the Torah reader in the parsha of the Tochacha, in an undertone, will read very quickly all sorts of difficult to hear and difficult to accept admonitions that God says what will happen, God forbid, if we don't follow his law. And while, of course, contained within that deeply are great blessings, the fact remains that on a superficial level, they aren't blessings. And we don't want to experience those negative things. We want to remove them from the world. We want a world that's a better place, a greater place. And we have to put an effort into making this world, to making our communities, to making our families, our homes, our own lives a better place. It takes effort, it does. But it can be done. If we follow his laws, God says, he will give us the rain in time. And as the Rebbe points out in his great book, the Hayom Yom, where every day he gives us a teaching by which we can live life better. This week he speaks about Im Bechukotai is not only if, but God is pleading with each and every one of us. God asks us, do me a favor. God says, do me a favor. Follow my law. I need this world to be a better place. I plead with you to follow my law because I want to give each and every one of you blessing, each and every one of you that which you need. I want to give each and every one of you revealed goodness, materially, spiritually, on every single world. And this is what the world needs more than anything else right now. We need revealed blessing. We need revealed goodness. And this is why, when we take a look at the Haftarah, we have two parshiot, but the Haftarah that we will be reading in Shul tomorrow comes from the, connected to the Parsha Bechukotai, which comes from the book of Jeremiah. It begins with the saying that God is my power and my strength and my refuge on the day of trouble. What does it end with? It says, Refa'eni Hashem be'erafe, Hoshi'eni vivasheya. God, heal me, and I will be healed. Help me, and I will be helped. For you are the one whom I always praise. Listen to that. What does the world really need now? The world needs healing. The world needs help. We turn to Hashem and we say, God, heal me, and I'll be healed. Because on our own, it's very, very difficult. Whether it's the help that we need or the healing that we need tremendous divine pleasant blessing to bring it into proper effect. But we have to do our part as well. And this is why both parshiyot of Bahar and Bechukotai talk to us about that which we have to do on a greater level. It comes with humility and strength. It comes with a strength of identification of the principles that we stand for, fulfilling the commandments with joy and with purpose and with determination and with humility. And it also comes with a tremendous sense of understanding the contractual relationship we have with God, that the whole natural order of his creation is dependent upon our behavior. So as I always say, as you know, when you are in shul tomorrow, listen carefully. Listen carefully to the parsha that's going to be read. because within it you will hear things that talk to you personally. And when you hear that word, that idea that resonates, rejoice, because that will be an indication of something that you can and must do. And when you bless the new month of Sivan in Shul tomorrow, again, do it with a tremendous sense of joy. A tremendous sense of joy because it's the third month which contains the giving of the Torah. And the tribe is Zvulun, which includes each and every one of us, scholar, non-scholar. Each and every one of us has a part to play in the giving of the Torah, in the support of Torah, in the teaching of Torah, in the sharing of Torah, bringing the Torah to the entire world. On the flag of Zvulun, there was a picture of a ship, and the ship is a symbol of the one that sails through the seas, that carries the goods to the far ends of the world, a symbol of Torah that is carried to the far ends of the world by each and every one of us. Because each and every one of us has this mission, it has this duty, it has this incredible privilege. It's a great Shabbos. And at the end we say, Chazak, Chazak, Benis Chazek. Be strong, despite the challenges the world offers, despite the threats the world offers. We are strong and we are committed, again, with humility and strength. Good Shabbos.